Welcome to season two of the Animal Highlight. This season is focused on animals and sound and has been extracted from season four of the Animal Turn podcast, which was originally aired in 2021. In this season, I'm joined with a co-host, and I'm delighted. It's Hannah Hunter, who is a friend and colleague of mine from Queen's University. Hannah is a PhD candidate in the Geography Department at Queen's University and an active member of the Sonic Arts of Place Laboratory at Queen's University, which is also a sponsor of this season. Her research explores the intersections of animals, sound, and extinction, and Hannah is particularly interested in the intersection of how we can build relationships with distant and lost beings through sound, and how sound might be a potent force for representing and challenging the fourth mass extinction. In episode four, we're looking at ivory-billed woodpeckers. Hi, Hannah. It's so great to have you back on the show. I know we've had a little bit of a break. I hope happy new year. I hope you had a lovely break.
Yeah, thank you. To you.
And today's highlight is particularly special because you know an awful lot about this animal.
I just know a thing or two. I don't know about that.
No, I think it's a bit more than a thing or two. So today we're going to be talking a bit about the ivory bill woodpecker. Why did you take it away?
All right. Well, yes, as you say, it's a special one because the ivory bill woodpecker is in large part the subject of my PhD thesis, and especially their sounds. So I wanted to use this opportunity to talk about them. Of course, only a brief glimpse, but hopefully people will find it interesting nonetheless. So to introduce you to ivory-billed woodpeckers, if you don't know about them, they are, or perhaps were, large striking woodpeckers that were the second largest in North America, and they could be found in the southeastern swamps of the USA as well as in Cuba, and they're a type of campephilus woodpecker, and people call them the Lord God bird or Holy Grail birds due to their kind of striking size and plumage, but also their incredible rarity. So on that note, they haven't been conclusively seen, they say, since 1944, but they are, that fact is hugely debated. Some people think that they're still around quite strongly and even say that they've seen or heard them with their own eyes or their own ears, and they're currently the subject of this huge kind of raging legal debate because the US have claimed, the US Fish and Wildlife Service say that they're extinct, other people say they're not, so there are these kind of public hearings and all this stuff going on at the moment. So really fascinating species in that sense, but also just a fascinating species in their own right, regardless of all of that. And so I want to talk about their sounds today. So they have two kind of principal sound making strategies. So the first are calls, which hopefully we'll be able to hear a clip of. And those are kind of these nasal sounding notes, which I don't know, before I started studying this, I don't think I'd ever thought about what a woodpecker would sound like apart from like pecking. But they make these quite kind of weird otherworldly sounds, and people say that they sound like a children's toy trumpet or the sound of someone blowing through a clarinet mouthpiece, which is quite specific. But if you have a clarinet mouthpiece at home, blow through it and you can sound like an ivory-billed woodpecker. So yes, their vocalizations, people call them Kent calls, because we kind of talked before about the ways that people describe bird sounds, and that was, they're supposed to sound like Kent, the word Kent. But
gosh,
then
I'm trying to imagine, I'm trying to imagine someone blowing through a clarinet saying Kent, like. Okay.
They try and make these things to make it sound like, make you easier to imagine, but sometimes I think it actually makes it a little bit harder.
It's like a good mental activity. What is it? What is it? What is? I mean, I guess I first have to understand what a clarinet sounds like. Okay, I'm definitely going to have to find some clips.
Not just a clarinet mouthpiece. It's very specific.
Okay, sorry, I interrupted you there.
No, go ahead. And so that's one of their kind of main sound-making strategies. And then the other one is, of course, as a woodpecker, they use their beaks to, or bills rather, to hit against usually wood, but increasingly woodpeckers in general kind of use artificial structures too. But with ivory-billed woodpeckers, they use, the sounds they make are called double knocks, And these are loud, rapid knocks that are made by two strikes of the bird's bill against a wooden substrate. And usually this is a display, an alarm, or a contact signal. But these sounds of the ivory bill have never been conclusively recorded, but we know about them from like written accounts, as well as other Camphephilus woodpecker species that still exist in South America. So I want to go on a little bit of a tangent about the pecking and the blows of woodpeckers in general, because we've talked a lot about kind of the calls and the sounds the animals make, but not so much about their kind of mechanical sounds. Mm-hmm. And of course, these are very integral to many animals' sonic worlds as well. Given all the knocks and blows and drums of a woodpecker and that are integral to a woodpecker's way of life, you might find yourself wondering, don't they get headaches with all of that? With all of that pecking with their heads against wood? I found myself wondering just that. So, you know, they have this reaction animal book series. There's one called The Woodpecker by Gerald Gorman, and he kind of talks about this and talks about all these anatomical adjustments that woodpeckers have, which means specifically that they don't get headaches. So like where their bill is placed, how thick their skull is. There's a special kind of fluid that is between a woodpecker's skull and its brain that absorbs the shock of it pecking, and all kinds of other things. And it's kind of has this flexible but hard bill. And yeah, and so they don't get headaches. And there's been a lot of like biomimicry stuff to try and figure out how that those kind of adjustments can be used to help people, and especially like American football players, not to get brain injuries. There was recently a paper in Social Studies of Science by Gregory Holland just about that and about the ethics of that. So that's really interesting. But anyway, that's too much of it. That's my tangent about woodpeckers and headaches. But quickly, considering this week was about sound archives, so that's why I wanted to talk about the ivory-billed woodpecker, because there is only one sound recording or one kind of series of sound recordings that exist of the ivory-billed woodpecker. And it was taken in 1935 in Louisiana by ornithologists from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. And this recording just has those kind of Kent weird clarinet mouthpiece calls, as well as some drumming. And you can now listen to these on the Cornell's Macaulay Library website. And it's just cool in its own sense, because we don't really have a lot of sound recordings of presumed extinct species, because sound recording technology is so new. But kind of very sadly, the number of recordings that we have of extinct species is growing because of there's so many kind of recently extinct species. And so, yes, don't have a lot of time to go into it here, but it's kind of my feeling that this sound recording has really quite radically changed the event of the ivory bill's extinction. And one of the reasons for this is that there are all of these people trying to kind of prove the existence, the persistence of the bird, and to try and locate it in the field. And one of the ways that they do that is through this process called playback, where they kind of go on the Macaulay Library website and find this 1935 recording, and they play it in forests to try and elicit a response from surviving ivory bills. And many of these people claim to have gotten responses from ivory bills to this kind of historical recording, which is really kind of amazing when you think about this kind of intergenerational communication between like a 2022 ivory billed woodpecker and a 1935 ivory billed woodpecker. And even if they kind of, it isn't ivory bills, like there are cases in which they think that because of this playback technology, then other birds have or can like learn the calls. So like blue jays can then like mimic these ivory billed woodpecker calls that have been played to them. So it's kind of like almost reintroducing this sound into the forest.
Gosh, that's interesting. Because, yeah, I mean, that's not even something I spoke about with Cheryl, is kind of the idea of intergenerational communication with sound archives, right? Like we spoke very much about how I think humans are using these archives and how animal studies researchers could use them to better understand animals. But that's obviously then to kind of have this idea that animals are one, like monolithic, and that one animal's call can necessarily help. I mean, I do think they can help us to understand a variety of different species, but of course, over that kind of period, that kind of time frame, animals are going to have changed, right? Maybe mm-hmm. we speak about culture, we speak about these ideas, you know, obviously there's going to be shifts in these calls, and that's really interesting. Like, how would I communicate to someone? I mean, I guess I have communicated to people from, but there's still intergenerational differences, right? There's cultural differences across mm-hmm. across time, across age. So I hadn't thought of that. That's fascinating.
Yeah,
well, so cool. Yeah.
Keep an eye out. Hopefully, I'll write a publication about it sometime soon.
Yes, I will keep an eye out. I love the idea of a bird who doesn't get headaches and who can communicate mm-hmm. across time. Definitely yeah. makes the ivory bill woodpecker a cool animal to focus on for this highlight. Thank you again, Hannah, so much for the highlight.
Thank you to Animals in Philosophy, Politics, Law, and Ethics for sponsoring the Animal Term podcast. Thank you also to the Sonic Arts Studio and the Sonic Arts Place Laboratory, who were sponsors for the fourth season of the Animal Term podcast that was focused on animals and sound, where, of course, these animal highlights were extracted from. A big thank you also to Hannah Hunter for co-hosting this season of the Animal Highlight with me. This episode was produced by myself, edited by Christian Mentz, and the logo and episode artwork were created by Rebecca Shin. This is The Animal Highlight with me, Claudia Hurtenfelder.